person here of High Hook and Gentleman style. We accepted High Hook and threw out Gentleman style. Can everyone see where that would be done? Gentleman style is another one, stepping up off of a losing race, in which he was really, at least with Superb Moment, this horse was part of the race. This horse didn't become part of the race until the race was over. He almost caught Superb Moment.
But as far as stepping up off,
that's right. But he was not close up at any call. Yep. And I think he ran just about that way, didn't he? Where do you run? Gentleman stuff. Yeah. He was a... Yeah. I'm going to tell you, you don't want to bet horses that don't concern themselves with the running of their races, because you're going to concern yourself with where your money goes. With... Play me one more time. Is dropping. Was up close. Probably didn't belong at 40 anyway. He's okay. We accepted him that way yesterday. Overridge is in class, was up close at the stretch call. You would accept him and use his last race. Any problems with any of that? So we wound up yesterday in the class with Overridge as a contender. Play me one more time. High Hook. Right Rudder and Superb Moment, with those horses being the ones to separate. Well, yeah, just because High Hook, he won last time, won the race before, so he's won twice in a row and they step him up again, which is what they should do. The negative on High Hook is his running style always. Okay, how much? Okay, you're right, too. They stepped him up last time. But look at the way he won. By how much? Okay. You don't expect that horse to step up. I mean, if I trained a horse, I wouldn't step him up. If I were life and death to get the win at that level, I wouldn't move him up. He did. He came on in late. Now, if Right Rudder had any heart at all, he would have won the race. But he doesn't. Okay. But those are the contenders. That's the way you play it. You try to separate them from that. Now, see, High Hook, at Santa Anita, I bet one deep closer the whole meeting. You were probably there. That was High Hook in his last race, because the race before that, he would have run over glass to win. I mean, he looped the field and he was running like an express train. It made no difference whether leaders were tired or not. He just had a lot of back class and he went up and won. Now, his last race wasn't as good, but it was a win nevertheless. But I did bet him last time. Now, I got to tell you, I would not have bet him yesterday. I would have, if I'd have bet this race, my problem would have been getting a bet into this race. Because I wouldn't have bet Superb Moment or Gentleman Style. For me, it's a negative, not a negative drop, but it's a negative pattern, stepping up off of a loss. I wouldn't have bet High Hook because of his running style. And Right Rudder, I wouldn't have bet because the horse is a perennial second-place finisher. Okay. So, I mean, I wouldn't have gotten a bet down in here. Had somebody put a gun to my head and said, go ahead and bet this race, I'd have lost it, probably. Okay. But I would have had a contender. I'm Marlon Brando. I could have been a contender here. But today's form now. Five for a reason. It's a mid-level claiming race. And you'll find, if you haven't already, that's this particular level is about the most predictable you're going to find out there. So more of the principles will apply. Are there any scratches in the fifth? Does anyone have them? Oh, War Bronze. Wow. There goes War Bronze is a scratch. That was some of the pace in the race, obviously. Now, right off the top, looking at War Bronze that scratched, does anybody recognize anything that we've talked about here? All right, an older horse stepping up off of a losing race. Just kind of get that clear, that it's not sacrilege to bet that kind of horse. It's just a negative you ought to register right away. And in here, it would not have come up well anyway. Would not have been a strong choice. All right, so let's take a look at this race now for contenders. There are two things you've got to remember. One of them is all the work we did on the profile. So we're kind of zeroing into horses that are pressers in early, not completely at the expense of closers, because if the race breaks down, one can win it. But that's what we prefer. What else did we establish on this racetrack? That the inside post is horrible, right? In these one-turn races. The two is only marginally better, and the three is only marginally better than that. So if you're going to bet somebody on the inside, just make sure it's tons the best. That's all I would say. Because if it's tons the best, it'll probably win anyway. But I don't know what the post positions did yesterday, but I know until yesterday, the only one post that had won was a horse called Dashi's Folly, who dropped back 11 lengths behind and circled the field to win to get the hell off the rail. Okay. One-turn miles, yes. But not two-turn races. Okay, let's look at Lady Buck right now. Oh, God. Out! Out! You're out of there! Let's take a look now at Baluti. That's the two horse here. The horse is making a drop in class. What do you think? Does it need it? Probably needs more. You're right. But it does need the drop in class, so don't get concerned about the horse dropping, because it really should. Now, as I reposition myself in this chair. Okay, now, the drop is okay, right? Now apply the form guidelines. Yeah. No, it's a positive drop, because if you look at his last few races, that's the logical thing to do with him. If you want to go back and analyze where he was eight races ago, it's kind of negative that he's down here. But nevertheless, his last race or two indicates that he should be down here now. Oh, okay, but the point is that he's dropping, and it's not a negative drop. Yeah. Take a look at his last race. Does he meet the form guidelines? He's up close at the first call, right, in 21-4. But then he loses four running positions and three lengths around the turn against a 23-1 turn time. Okay? So he doesn't fit the guidelines. Well, yeah. And he probably continued to race as fast as he works. Yeah, I mean, he could improve here, but I mean, this would be a matter of speculation. He'd have to turn his whole performance pattern around here. Now, sometimes they'll do that, and sometimes you'll look back and say, God, he got blinkers, I should have known that, he did this, I should have known that, he had a good workout line, I should have known that, and the next 25 bets you make on that basis, you throw tickets away. Okay, try to be consistent here. But yeah, he could improve. Is that what they're doing? Well, that'll put him further behind, won't it? Okay, he does not fit the guidelines. I mean, you know he's going the other way. Look at the odds he's been lately. He can't, but here's the point. Remember Hand Secret? All right. What we did was we handicapped. Could you hand me my pen? I just dropped it. We handicapped that race first, right? And we handicapped it from a traditional standpoint, found that the pace setters were weak, and now it was time to open up and look at the other horses in a race, which means that if we found the same situation here, we could go back and say, okay, now can I make a case for Baloney? Can I make a case for some of these other horses? That's the way you get back into this. But if there's a good, sharp horse in this race, or two, then you don't want to go back and open it up for other possibilities. What about Never Trailing? Never Trailing, Baloney, huh? All right. Okay, let's deal with it a piece at a time. Does he, should he drop? So there's nothing negative about dropping here. Does he meet any of the form guidelines that we established? He does not. Not a lot of sign of life. Now, does it bother anybody that Eddie Delahousie is going to ride this horse? Nah, don't fall into that trap. All that does is drive the price down, because a lot of people will do that. What? A piece at a time here. And he's right. But he was put into a claiming race last time, and compared to his last sprint on March 14th, he not only didn't improve, he regressed. So now he drops to 32. Now look at this horse's, if you have any further doubts about this horse's ability. a lot of the people at this racetrack will bet this horse, if he should be 15 to 1, he'll be 10 to 1 because Eddie Delahoussaye rides him. That's the wrong analysis, because all that does is drag the price away from you. The other is, look at this horse's lifetime record. Okay. One win in 35 starts. How many seconds? How many thirds? I wonder how many fourths, maybe, huh? But the point is that this horse is really not even a trier. Okay. So when you add this all up, you don't have a good line to choose. The horse is not informed, doesn't meet any of your criteria. And all he's got going for him is the rider switch to Eddie Delahoussaye. Everybody still have yesterday's form around? Turn to page 14 in the first race yesterday. I want to show you something. What I want to show is Khalil, the horse that did run second at a huge price yesterday. Relate Khalil back to Never Trailing and other horses that are of that ilk. Now, I want you to look at Khalil. A case would be made for this horse, because I know a lot of people that would make the case. So I want you to draw a little, as you look at the class prices this horse has been in for, between the 45 and the 25, just draw a line there to separate the higher class races with the 25s. Then draw a line between the 16 and the 12.5s. Now take a look at this horse's lifetime record. Three wins in 50 races, 7 seconds, and a third. Now one of the arguments that will be made by reasonably knowledgeable handicappers will be, well, okay, but he was running way over what he probably can do. Therefore, you can't hold that consistency pattern or his lack of trying against him. All right? The first line you drew, he now had a chance to run three times between 25 and 16, right? Did the pattern of this horse change? Now go beyond the next line you drew. Now they dropped him down to where they can't drop him anymore around here. Did his pattern change? All right. Now relate that back to Never Trailing. Okay? Just if one of these horses, because someday he'll be 4 for 75. Never Trailing will be 2 for 50 or 2 for 40. When he gets his win, don't make that panic you into betting that kind of horse. I mean, if I run him often enough, Dick Schmidt's gonna win a race out here, isn't it? No, you're right. All right, let's look at Latash.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's look at Latash. He went, is he a contender to win at 20? All right, he wins last time at 16. He's never even tried 20, so it's pretty hard to say, but if you can win at 16, you can generally win at 20. We're going to deal with that in the next session, but in California, the fact that it was a state bred has almost no bearing on the race. Yeah, it does restrict it a little. I mean, it is a little weaker, but there's no difference in the pars at all between state breds and the others. In Chicago, that would be a hell of a difference. All right, so look at him now. Can he win? I mean, if his numbers are good, would he win here maybe? Okay, but take a look at this guy's lifetime record. Now, this is a horse that I made a habit of betting against. Unfortunately, I missed this last race, so he didn't hurt me after all. Look at his races in which he finished third, second, 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 third, third. Look at all of those races in which he didn't get the job done, right? He hung down the stretch against 10s and 12.5s. Now, I got to tell you something else. The horse that he beat last time, he had some help. Cracksman bowed a tendon in the last eighth of a mile. He's gone forever. Cracksman's gone. But Cracksman had the race won, and he bowed a tendon. This horse came running and got him because somebody decided to sit down in front of him. So now, on the same basis that we discussed Khalil and Never Trailing, Latash was 2 for 47 going into that race. A horse broke down in front of him, or bowed in front of him, and now he's 3 for 48. Do you jump on the bandwagon and decide he's something different now? Well, not unless he's much the best on your numbers. He's a contender. He fits your contender guidelines. Just don't fall in love with him. Don't expect him to reverse his pattern. Okay. You got it.
Knowing that, would you
would you perhaps go back and use a lesser race rather than use a winning race?
No, because he won. It was his time. He won it. Yeah, it was his pattern, his time. He probably shouldn't have won it, but that wouldn't have mattered. You'd still use this. Yeah, but even if he'd run second, you'd use this race. Okay. Sure, boys.
Out of 47, he just now won. He's not very likely to win again very soon if he wins at all.
He's never won back-to-back.
That's
logical and it's true, but that doesn't preclude him from doing it. All right, if his numbers are the best and no one survives in front of him, don't go against the numbers you're going to generate here. If he just turns out to be one of the horses you're looking at, don't bet him. That's where that comes to. If he becomes the horse you're looking at, you got to revise that a little bit and expect him to run very well then. And that's the way you treat some of these horses that won't win. If they're just one of the horses you're looking to win, if the figures are halfway equal, don't expect him to outgame horses that habitually outgame him. All right, so look for some kind of advantage before you take that. Let's look at Starwood Express. What do you think here? Should he drop? All right. All right, let's look at him for just a moment. What do you think? Would you excuse the last race? Wait a minute, don't get too far ahead. If you excuse the last race, the race before meets your contender guidelines because it was up close at the second call. Right? But that would also be the pace line on the horse, right? Okay. But now think about his last race for a minute. And think about your whole experience at the racetrack. A horse is crowded at the start. There is an excuse here. All right? How many times have you seen a horse stumble, kind of get left at the gate, get bumped around at the gate? What do they usually do, though? Sure, it usually shakes them up to some extent. They usually make a move in a race. They try to run somewhere in the race. What did this horse do? What did this horse do? Did he do anything anywhere? Yeah. Okay. That's the other point. Don't be too quick to excuse some of these races. I did pass a few horses late in the race. What about this Latchburn? Should he drop?
Yes.
Certainly. Is his last race acceptable in terms of our guidelines? No. 3 is what did we say finally? 3 to 3.5 somewhere now? I mean, without being too finite with it, right? Is this horse even close to that at any call? In the race before that, he was close to that, but boy, he needed a taxi to come home, didn't he? In fact, both of those races. Okay. Now, there's a soft spot in my heart for this horse because I picked him on March 17th and he paid a big price. But don't ever fall in love with these things. Nevada Eagle. What about this guy? Should this horse run in a claiming race? Sure. Sure. But should he be in a claiming race? Okay. Okay. That's the reason I put the part-time chart in here. He's losing to non-winners at ones, right? Pick up your par charts. This is the whole reason for this. He's losing to non-winners at ones. And you just said he needs a drop. Where would you drop him to? Would you drop him to 32? No. 32s are as good as non-winners at ones, right? Well, 25 only gives him a length drop. If you want to give him a chance to win, you're going to have to do better than that. 20 is the logical place to put this horse. That's equivalent to 20, and that's a good observation. The numbers and ones at Golden Gate are equivalent to 20s. So actually, in terms of the level of competition, this isn't much of a drop. But he belongs in a claiming race, and you don't want him at 32 because those are as good as the ones he's losing to. Yeah. Which line would you use on him? Sure. You can use his last line. I beg your pardon? between the, yeah. He meets your guidelines. Okay. Now you'll find that this horse isn't going to measure up very well. But if you eliminate enough of these horses, he may be one of the one or two horses you still have left, and you might wind up playing a good size exact here as a result of that. So he doesn't violate anything. He needs the drop. A drop to 32 isn't a drop. So what are you going to do? You drop him to 20. What about seize the chance? He's going, that's right. One of the observations up front is that he's stepping up off of a loss. Okay? But remember, that doesn't throw him out of here. Okay? That doesn't throw him out for us. Okay. Does he meet the contender guidelines here? It is a negative, yes. On the other hand, if he comes up on top in this race, you override the negative, that's all. And the way, like I said, the way to approach that is that if you have a lot of horses that look alike when you're finished running the computer, then the negative really takes hold and you get rid of those horses. If he comes up strongly on top, you embrace him. That's the way you handle it. Well, that's like being a little bit pregnant. It's a pretty finite statement. I mean, he lost. Yeah, but then he's still strongly on top. He's strongly on top if he's a 1-1-1 everywhere. That means he's tops and he's... No, unless somebody's a 2-2-2-2-2.10 behind him in every category, what he's done is he's exceeded every horse in every category, if that's the case. Okay? And that's strongly on top. What about Lands Manus? What do you think about this guy? It's a hell of a jump. It's a good jump. Don't enter that. Don't interject that yet. You're right. What about this horse? You wouldn't touch him. What about the rest of you? When the season is over, I'll trace 50% of my profits for the whole year to moves like this. If it were three, I'd like it as well. Here's the analysis of this horse, and if you don't learn anything else in these 3 weeks, some of them lose. They're almost always overlaid, and more win than lose, that's for sure. Here's the scenario. The horse wins decisively at 12-5. So if you enter him at 16, somebody said he won by 5 at 12-5, therefore he's 5 lengths better than 12-5 horses, I'll claim him. So if you enter him at 20, you make sure somebody's going to have to pay a price if they take him away from you. Now, the indication from Bill Stepp is that this horse is so good right now that I'm going to run him at 20. Forget everything that's happened before that, because then you'll be into a horse like Inquisitorial, who had never run over 10 or 12-5 in the last few years, wound up winning an allowance race by about 6 out here after successive double jumps. And everybody's making the argument, letting him go at good, decent prices, all the time saying, well, this horse hasn't got any class here. One thing about Lands Manus, I'll enter for the rest of you, is that this was a classified allowance horse about 3 years ago, at the furthest back. This is an old, tough horse. Look at his winning record. Look at his earnings. Does anybody have any doubt that this horse can win at 20? Okay. I've used this analogy before. I mean, anything short of having a telegram from the trainer waiting for you in your post office box in the morning saying, here's what I want to do with this guy, that's the closest thing you can get to it. Expect a good performance when you see that pattern off of a very strong race. Expect a good performance. Now, they don't always win. Sometimes they're wrong with them. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, then that would be overly ambitious. Yeah. But the figure is excellent. That would be overly ambitious unless you looked up the chart and saw the second horse was 10 lengths in front of the third horse. So it's all relative. It gets deeper than that. But if he were life and death to win in kind of a common race, and they double jump him like that, you can get interested, but it's not. It doesn't become a stick-out selection. This is the kind of bet I make all year long. So don't look at it and say that that's too big a jump, because when they really get good, I think I said that earlier today, sometimes they can do marvelous things, these horses. Yeah.
Fly here, that was the best race he ever ran, because he runs a similar type out there. discuss that. If all of a sudden he runs a bang-up race here, he wins by 7 lengths, but he's never done that before.
Okay.
And he's an older horse like this.
Okay. If he runs
the race of his life as an older horse, and they bring him back at the same level or maybe an indecisive one-level move on him, I might assume that maybe that is... Because you only run your peak once. All of us have only done that. Whatever your endeavor is, you only hit your peak performance one time, don't you? Then something below that is what your normal performance is. On the other hand, this horse receives a double jump, right? This is a decisive move on the part of a trainer that's had him all the time, which is kind of immaterial here. This is a trainer that's double jumping this horse off of a powerful race. You expect him to stay in sharp form. There were other questions here? Yes. Okay. Go back down to some of his earlier races. January 10th for one. He could do anything. Okay. He can do anything. Last race, they gave him the lead, said, be my guest, and they never saw him again, is what happened. But he's really sharp. Okay. Now, these don't always, no situation is infallible. They don't always win, period. But this kind of horse, if you play it all year long, in this situation, you will show enormous profits. Unfortunately, you only get about one of these every few days. I don't know. I won't even guess at that. The issue is that he is up to 18 anyway. What about Wiley? All right. What about Wiley? Yeah, first of all, let's make sure we're clear on this. The contender guidelines that we talked about, qualification guidelines, don't apply here. Okay, his last race doesn't apply. So the first thing you do is don't look at this and say, well, he wasn't up close in the last race, because that was 4 months ago. The analysis is different in this particular horse. So don't just assume that race is the one that qualifies him to be a contender. What's the workout pattern on this race? Well, there's a 6-day, April 8th to April 14th, then there's 13 more, and then there's 6 more. What do you think? Can this horse win at 20 now? All right. Okay, let's talk... Let's take this right back down to a couple more things. First of all, the horse is in dreadful form when he went off, right? Really bad form and dropping. So the horse got something wrong with him, first of all. Suppose that the trainer righted the ship and the horse is still worth $20,000, right? What do you know about this racetrack? Wouldn't he have to be at his absolute best to win against the bias that we've established? Wouldn't he? Because he'll be coming from a place that nobody else seems to come from except High Hook. And if that's the case, where do you go for a pace line then? You go back to December 10th, 89, wouldn't you? You'd choose to put him in. I would not put him in here. I'm not going to tell you it's absolutely wrong to put him in. But you're asking for a lot of reversals here. What about Armand? This trainer amazes me, this Oscar Garcia. He does this all the time. He's like that guy we pointed out a while earlier, Kermit Alexander. This guy does the craziest things. He'll run a horse for 12.5 and put it in for 40 in its next start, after being badly beaten at 12.5. Look at this last race. And if you're looking at his last two races especially, but more importantly his last one, do you, off that race, step him up in class? No. I mean, mean, what line would you go to? Would you go back into 1988 to grab one of those lines back at Belmont in allowance races? What you see is what you get. You get two races on this horse to look at. They're both dreadful. All right. So where do we wind up with this race? Do we wind up with Latosh? Yeah, we do. Nevada Eon, right? Sees the chance. Lansmanis. Some of you may wind up with Wiley. I'm not going to tell you wrong there, because he's got some back class. It's just that his form was so dreadful prior to the layoff that I would prefer to wait and see one first. And I think that's the right answer to that, but I'm not going to tell you for sure. I don't want to make this too arbitrary, because there's an awful lot of in-between answers.